boy and song leader and soloist and ensemble, all those contests. And then we were in Lansing, Michigan, and the song leaders got down to the final three. And they were able to choose their own songs. They all chose that song. You know, because you can do a lot of fun stuff with that. You know, and so that was a good one. Well, this morning, the promises of John 14. Wow. I'm going to look at this. Remember, last week we had communion. And in communion, Jesus was there with his disciples in that upper room, and they were gathered together, and Jesus told them what was going to happen. He told them about the cup and the bread, and he also had that conversation with Peter. When Peter said, you know, Lord, I'll do anything for you, man. You're it. You know, and Jesus said, no, you won't. He says, as a matter of fact, before this is all over, you're going to deny me. Not stand up for me, but you'll deny me three times. Oh, Peter, no. Oh, no, I'll never do that. Well, this morning we're going to begin by reading in John 14, and we're just going to read the first. The first seven verses I'm going to read. And I think some folks, if you'll look, this is part of my Bible that is really worn, and that's because I do this many times during funerals. But as I was meditating on it this week, I said, wow, this is for us as believers. So let's read chapter 14. Stand with me again. I know that you've been standing, but just for a few verses, we'll read the scripture and then we'll pray. John 14, beginning in verse 1, it says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. If you have known me, you have known the Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Heavenly Father, as we start this meditation this morning, we ask that you would just be with us, bless us. Thank you for the ones that are here. And Lord, we ask that you would just use your Holy Spirit to teach us. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Nice to have visitors here today. Nice to see a few more people. And, well, no, not in the this one, just the same four, you know. Next week, somebody just, to make them feel nice, move over a little bit. You know, that would make them feel better. And you guys way over there, nice to see you over there, way in the back, Sandra. Well, you know, as I said, we're looking at a situation where we have men that have been following Jesus for 3 years. Boy, you would think after we're with somebody for 3 years, we get, you know, fairly, you know, we know them. We think about marriage. You know, in the first year of marriage, what an up and down ride for, wow, I didn't know myself that women were like they are. And they're wonderful, is what I meant to say. You know, but that first year is kind of a getting to know and back and forth and, oh, can I do that? Why can't my socks be on the floor? What's wrong with that? The second year, you know, it's okay. The third year, yeah, we're kind of starting to get it. And it's been 53 years, and I still don't have it. You know that. But, you know, by the third year, we should know. Those of you that were involved in a situation, you were the same group of people for a year after a work situation, perhaps, or another situation. By the third year, there's a phenomena that's happening now in Christian churches. And it's called the three-year cycle, where pastors are coming to a church. They have a first-year honeymoon. The second year, they find out what disagreements they have. And the third year, they are leaving. It's very sad, but it's happening all over our country in Bible-believing churches. And so we have the disciples sitting with Jesus. They're having a meal. And this is back, we're back in chapter 13. We're at the end of that chapter where Jesus talks to Peter. And then we go into 14 because after all of this, Jesus looks at the disciples and their faces are perplexed. They have wonderment and they have questions, and Jesus looks at them, and of course he knows their hearts and he knows their minds. And so he says this, he says, you know, let me see if I can work this today. Oh. Jesus is the way to the Father. There they are. That's a selfie that one of them did with a selfie stick. So we had it way out like that. But they're there and they're talking, and you can see, I'm going to say that the fellow on Jesus on your right is Peter, because he's saying, no, Lord, I wouldn't deny you. Or perhaps it's one of the other disciples saying, is it, you know, what's going on? But Jesus sees their how perplexed they are and says, hold on a second, guys. In the very first verse, he says, don't let your heart be troubled. He said, relax. You know, if he were in the 21st century, he'd say, hey, take it cool. No, that was in the 60s, we'd say that. You know, but just relax. It's okay. And they're thinking, how can it be okay, Lord, if you're going to leave us, you've told us you're going to die, you're going to sacrifice, and we are here. How is that okay? In what way could that be okay? Well, Jesus tells them, let not your heart be troubled. Do you believe in God? Believe also in me. And I think as we look at these and we see what we have here, Jesus is demonstrating to them what will be coming and how they will survive. I have very, very seldom watched this program on TV about these people in Alaska that live all in this little bitty hut with their dog. You know, and the grizzly bears are attacking them. And then I remember, oh, no, there has to be a film crew. The film crew has to have catering. You know, there's probably more people there than that one person. And I believe that those disciples were like we are sometimes when we feel alone. Even though they were sitting around this table, they began to experience that thing called separation anxiety. And some of you have had that class in college, you know, you studied that as you were studying psychology in college, and separation anxiety. Children have that who are taken away from parents. Folks have that are taken out of a place where they're familiar and gone to another place. There's missionaries that suffer from that as they're in foreign fields and they leave America and they go somewhere else, and whoa, the separation from family, from church, from friends. And so I believe Jesus saw this perhaps in the face of his disciples. And so he said this. He said, as I've said, let not your heart be troubled. Do you notice what he didn't say? He didn't say, hey, guys, don't worry about it. Don't we say that a lot? Hey, don't worry about it, or get your mind off of it. You got a problem? Well, quit thinking about that. Get your mind off that. You know, and he didn't say, he bypassed the mind and went right straight to the heart and said, hey, let's deal with this. This is the heart thing. This is your love for me, my love for you that we're going to be discussing here. And so then as he goes on with them, he says this. He says, if you believe in God, believe also in me. And he begins to tell them what he's going to be doing as he leaves them. He's going to be preparing a place for them. And I think I do not believe that there are any greater words throughout Scripture. Because he's telling him all of these things, and then he gets down to verse 6. And he said, Jesus said to him, and we're talking about Thomas here, but all of them were there, and said, maybe he stood up, you think? Maybe he stayed, you know, reclined. But he said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. We don't need anything else, do we? They didn't need anything else or any other to know that Jesus was the way to the Father. Let's just look at those three things just a little bit. I am the way. Oh boy, the way between is not talking about a church, not talking about a religion. You know, the Baptist or the Methodist or the Pentecostals or the Catholics. He said, no, not those. Those aren't the ways. I am the way. We're going to talk in just a little bit. I'm going to give you an assignment this coming week because I ran into a person in Freeport, Illinois, United States of America, North America, that didn't know who Jesus was. I did this week. See, it really excited me. And we're going to be doing a survey, all of us. You're going to talk to at least 10 people, as many as you can. And your first question is, man, isn't it great that we have Easter? Or what's Easter about? Or something. That's a question. And what do you think about Jesus? That's what I said. What do you think about Jesus? And he said, who's Jesus? I mean, it's a true story. I didn't, you know, as for Jesus saying, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and I know that, and I think, well, man, everybody knows Jesus. And we got talking a little bit, and as it turned out, he knew but he didn't know who Jesus was or why he came. And Jesus starts out by saying, I am the way. And there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end therein is just death or destruction. That's Proverbs 14, you know, in verse 12. Because all of the disciples were probably sitting there scratching their heads before Jesus told them to look in their hearts and say, wow, when he's gone, what am I going to do? How am I going to survive? What's my next step? What is Jesus telling them? Relax your heart. Know in your heart that I am the one that is the way. I am the one that is going to take you to the Father. You know why? Because I'm going to the Father to prepare a place for you. Number two, he said, I am the truth. Now, did the disciples have any reason at all to doubt that Jesus had ever told them anything but the truth? Never. Never, never had that occasion to say, you think Jesus was serious? Maybe when Darius' daughter was healed and he said, go, your daughter's okay. Maybe they thought, oh, he's just telling him because he wants it. No. Jesus had no occasion to tell anything except the truth. And so here he says, I am the way, I am the truth. What he's saying is, count on me. Whatever I say is what you can hang your coat on, or hang your, what's that old saying, hang something on. You know, it's good, it's solid. And he's telling his disciples this, so as they go on their way, they know that his word is that wonderfulness that he has. And he says, by saying this, he's also saying, commercial for the tracks out in the back. He opened the track. There's this chasm between man and God. And there's this bridge, which is Jesus. And Jesus is saying, what? I'm the way that I am the way. And the truth is this. I put some more out there because we were getting low. Thank you guys for distributing those in Freeport. And Sandy has some in her purse. And man, every once in a while, we'll get back to the car and say, did you leave a track? Oh, forgot to leave a track. You know, but we try. But this is explaining Jesus the bridge. And if Jesus said he was the way, then it's true. I can and all just, oh, just be so happy to be able to pass this out or be able to share that with somebody that Jesus is the way and the truth. Oh, he can trust me, he said. Then he said, I am the life. When he says I am the life, he just means there's a kind of life that we have, isn't there? This is a shadow of eternal life. This is a wonderful life God gave us. I mean, God breathed into Adam. He formed him and I get goosebumps just doing that. The breath of God brought man to life. And that isn't even what Jesus is talking about here. He says, you have that life. I'm going to give you a life that is eternal. I'm going to give you a life that is just so phenomenal that you cannot even begin to comprehend it here on earth. Oh. I would think, as I look around, I don't know everybody, I know most of you pretty well, and I would think that most of you are saying, you know what, Pastor, this is a great message, but we have heard the message itself is great, not the message I'm presenting, but and we've heard it over and over. Why present it this morning? I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Well, I'm presenting it this morning so that we'll get perhaps a new fire within us to let other people know this. Yeah, I would think about times in your life when something really, when that first baby came. Back in most of our days that we had to use the payphone because the cell phone had not been invented yet, young people. You know, we didn't know what that was. And so we went to the payphone and we took a dime at that time and we put it in and went clink, 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 clink. Just like that. And then you dialed the number. Dad, it's a boy. And you put another dime in. Aunt Hazel, it's a boy. And you went through all the people you wanted to what? Share this wonderful news with that you had a boy, a girl, whatever that one was. The second one you didn't call as many people, and the third one you said, you know, they'll find out. But that first one, you know, how that was, and how we do that. Some of us guys. Well, I told Marcia this morning, she's not a guy. She's a little wonderful lady back there that's putting this on, streaming this. I said, Marcia, guess what happened Friday? And she said, did you do your nails again? No, she didn't say that. She said, what? What happened? I said, I swam a mile. I've been trying to swim a mile now for 4 months. Continually. I did it Friday. I swam a mile. You know, so if there's something good, we tell people. Something exciting, we let everybody know. You know, every once in a while, a guy did this to me a while back, not here, and he just drove into my driveway. And I look out. Oh, what a car. 1960s muscle car. 60-something. He didn't have to say a word. He just said, hey, come out here and want to go for a ride? I said, no, I want to drive it. Yeah, I don't want to ride it. I want to drive that, you know. But it was exciting. And we as Christians have become complacent in spreading the gospel. We don't have that excitement. Well, some of you do. I'm not doing a blanket here. But many of us don't. Or we find those times when it's okay to do what? And those other times, well, I'm not going to. Well, Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And I believe three reasons that it's wonderful that should just really rock you today. Number one reason is, it is so clear. If you can't tell what that is, that's an old-fashioned window guy washing the window. And he's making it clear. Because many of the folks around us are looking, like Paul said, through a glass darkly, and they cannot see what's going on out there in the world. They see the evil. They see the things that are happening bad. All the things in all around us, the disease, the politicians, anything that say, wow, what a mess. Is there really a God? And we have the opportunity to show them the clarity of there is a God. And you know, and I was reading, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And Confucius said, Jesus, and this is words of Confucius, not me. Confucius said, Jesus said he was the way, the truth, and the life, but he is, in fact, a way to a truth and a life. Well, he's not, is he? He's the way to the life. The eternal life. You know, and a kind of a cute little illustration that I was thinking about. Let's say that we decided as a group we're going to go to Disney World. I don't know why. I don't like rides. I do like the food. So, okay, I'm going to Disney World with you guys. All right? And we're going to fly. Now, we're going to fly out of Midway or one of those places, and we get our we all get online, and we decide we're going to go, and we've got a ticket. Oh, hold on. I've got a picture of an airport. Huh, there we go. And there we are. And we get there, and we see our ticket says Orlando, gates 31 through 50. What? Gates 31 through 50. And we begin to wonder, don't we? What does that mean? And so one of you goes up to somebody and you say, we're going to Orlando. Which gate do we use? And they say, well, you know what? I'm a pretty seasoned flyer, and my lucky number is 47. I always go gate 47. Huh? And this little lady standing there, she says, oh, my son flies all the time. And when he flies, he goes gate 51. So we get a little bit, what? A little bit unnerved, and we go to the ticket booth. You know, the gate, we're right by the gate. We say, ma'am, which gate do we take? We want to go to Orlando. And she says, well, I'm not allowed to tell you that. That would be narrowing it down too much. I don't want to be too narrow. I would like you to make your own choice. You know, because we just don't do that now. We want you to be able to make your own choice and get there the way you want, you know, to get there. Well, that's very silly. But that's how many people are living today. And if you talk with very many, you'll find that to be true. Well, I mentioned one time about the person that asked me about the weighing, the good and the bad. No, the bad's been covered by the blood of Christ. We need to follow Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the light. I had a daydream. I was in a study, and I was thinking about the judgment. The Bible says that we're all going to stand before Christ, the evil, the ones that haven't accepted Christ, and us for our works, we're going to stand before Christ. And I want to say, how long does that take? Huh? Every person, you know, well, we know there's no time with God, so that, but you know what, this is not in the Bible, this is just a Pastor Woodstock. Maybe I was sleeping in the study and this came to me, I don't know. But God is what? Omnipresent. God can be how many places at once? I think it's going to happen in my little thing. I thought, man, that could happen instantaneously. We could all be judged by God at the exact same moment and have it over. That'd be kind of cool. That way people wouldn't watch when I was being judged. But that gets us off our subject today, except a little bit, except people really believe, many of them, that we're going to be judged for sin, evil, things that we've done. You know, when you talk to people, well, I've been pretty good. I hope God lets me in. You know, or I think there's some clause that I fall under that I'm going to get in. And a survey that I was reading, a Barnum survey just a couple years ago, said in America, still 80% of the people in America believe there's an afterlife. There's only 20% that believe in annihilation, that when you're done, you're done, according to that survey, and who knows where they did it. So here we have Jesus telling us that he's the way, the truth, and the life. It's wonderful, number one, because it's so clear. We don't have to wander around an airport. Our ticket says, Jesus Christ saved us. This is how we're going and how we'll be in heaven. It works. You know, sometimes we don't know, like the Wright brothers, if it was going to work or not. And I don't know if I would have been the one that said, you know what, let me get on that thing. I'll ride it for 40 feet or 60 feet or whatever it was. You know, and get strapped down there. You know, I wouldn't know if I would do that. But Jesus promises, and whatever he promises, he delivers. And so he can get you where you most want to go, and that is, of course, heaven with God. And we know it because he has said it. Let me read you this. He personally demonstrated what he said. He spoke the most profound words that have ever been heard, that he is the life, the way and truth and the life. He lived the most remarkable, influential life in human history. He healed diseases, commanded the forces of nature, and raised people from the dead. He saw it. People witnessed it. And so whatever, it works. This thing, this believing in Christ works. And the second reason we know that it works is because we have those untold, probably millions of people who would follow Jesus and testify that what? He has changed their lives. He has taken them from what they were to living a life full of joy and peace in Christ. And many of those people have said that as they were becoming or being a martyr. They've lived a life for Jesus. And so it's clear. It works. Oops, wrong way. And this is the cool part. It's available for anyone. Whosoever will may come. And we have been sitting here through COVID with 2, 4, 6, 8, a bunch of people, you know, and thinking, I wonder about Bob down here and Sally over here. And I met the coolest kid at the pool the other day. I'm swimming. It's that time I'm doing my mile. And I am just really getting tired. And this kid gets in the pool, and he goes flying by me. And wow, he must be walking on water. He's going by, he's just whipping. And there's a lady that's waiting for him, sitting on a chair, and I figure, I knew it was his grandma. But I was done. I said, is that your son? She says, no, that's my grandson, Jamal. I said, that kid can fly. And she says, yeah, he's on the swim team for the high school. And so he stopped, I said, hey, I said, Jamal, my name's Arch. I'm the pastor at the Baptist Church, and I'm watching you swim. You got excellent form. I said, you really got the speed. I said, are you a senior? I'm tall guy, tall swimmer. You know, swimmers are only this wide. It can't be any wider than that, being on a high school swim team. And he said, no, I'm 14. I'm middle school, but I'm swimming on the varsity because I'm pretty fast. You know what? Goodbye, Jamal. Are you kidding? Not after I found out earlier this week that somebody didn't know Jesus. You know what I said to Grandma? I said, what do you guys go to church? She told me. I said, oh, you know Jesus? She said, yeah, I know Jesus. I said, Jamal, you know Jesus? Jamal doesn't know Jesus yet. He doesn't. You know, I said, well, I'm going to be praying for you, Jamal. I know your grandma's praying for you. And she says, yes, I am. You know, yeah, she was getting Pentecostal on me right there. It was really cool. You know, amen, yeah. And so I said, you know what, I can't stop because it's clear. It works. And it's available for everybody. Isn't that cool? Everybody. Yeah, but not for, no, everybody. Yeah, but this one guy, no, everybody. He's on death row because everybody. So what's at stake? You can hear Jesus' statement and conclude that it's really great, it's wonderful. But you know, until you come to your knees and confess Him as Savior, it means nothing. I don't know, but I believe that most of the folks here know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. If you don't, this message is so clear. Jesus said, I came. He told the disciples He was going to die, shed His blood. Why? Because He was going ahead of us to make us a place in heaven. Well then, Pastor, this isn't me. I don't need to get down and confess my sins and ask Christ to come into my life. I've done that. Well, like me, you need to, if you're going to get out there and win those people for Jesus that are in Freeport. Can't do it without that. We can't do that without getting on our knees before the Lord daily and saying, Lord, show me somebody today. Well, this coming week, you don't have to participate. I'm going to take reports afterwards, though. No, try this. Just try it. A three-question survey this week, and you can blame it on your pastor. That's a good one, right? Because some people say, oh, how do I start that? Start it like this. Let's see. Marianne, come up here for a second, would you? Well, Mary, you're way in the middle. Karen, would you come up here for a second? Just come up here and stand. And just be Karen, okay? You don't have to act. Just be Karen. Karen's going to be three different people, okay, today? First of all, go right over there by that mic, Karen. I got lots of time. Yeah. Oh, boy. Karen says, no, you don't. Okay, Karen, first of all, you're a person, you know Jesus, yes. Okay? And you love him with all your heart. Okay, so when I ask you a question, why don't you hold that mic or put it up so that people can hear you? I play like you're Doris Day and, okay, sirrah, sirrah, right, Lily? Remember that song? All right. You do this. You do something silly, simple like this. Hey, hi there, how are you today? Hey, would you mind? My pastor asked me to do a short three-question survey. Could I do that with you?
Sure.
Okay, first of all, I'm from the Baptist Church here in Freeport. Okay, first question is, do you know who Jesus is?
Yes, I do.
Oh, you do? Yes. Wonderful. Do you know why he came to earth?
Yes.
Really? Why would you say he came to earth?
He came here to save me. And everybody else.
Have you trusted Jesus as your Savior?
Yes, I have.
How simple can that be, guys? In the grocery, Walmart line, the bank line, coffee shop, and the swimming pool. Okay, now, this time, a little more drama in it, all right? You know who Jesus is, but you don't. You question, when I ask you if you have Jesus in your heart, you don't know, okay? Oh, hey, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm fine.
Do you swim here all the time?
Pardon?
Do you swim in this pool a lot?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay. Well, nice to see you here today. Hey, my pastor asked me to do a short survey on about 10 people this week, 5 to 10 folks. Can I ask you three questions?
Sure.
Always get their permission, okay? Hey, do you know who Jesus is? Yeah, you do. Yeah. What's that?
You might as well say.
Yeah, you know who he is, yeah.
Yeah.
You do? Okay. Do you know why he came to earth?
No.
You haven't got a clue. Say, I don't have a clue.
I don't have a clue.
Oh, man. You know, right now it's a busy time. I know we don't have time to share that with you. But, I'd like to invite you to join Pastor Woodstock and our church next Sunday, which would probably be on Good Friday or whatever. But an invitation to church. Okay? Good. All right. That's enough. You'll never have to push anybody unless Karen were to say, what do you mean by that? Say that.
What do you mean by that?
Oh, man, I'm glad you asked, because I do know Jesus. And a couple of things that I just want to tell you is that Jesus came to earth for one reason only, and that was for you, so that he could be the sacrifice for the things that we've done in our lives that are what are called sin, and we're separated from God. Would you take this track, and would you read it? And our number's on the back, and would you call us if you have any questions? Oh, how about that? Some people would take it to that. Okay, now, the last person. You're getting tired of this, aren't you? Yeah, you should see her face. Those of you that cannot see her face are saying, what in the world? Okay, this time, all right, you are a person that knows Jesus, but you think he is not the way, and you know another way. I'll make the question so that they'll fall into that. If we would have had time, we would have rehearsed beforehand, folks. But live TV, what do you want? Here we go. Hey, good afternoon. How are you today?
Fine.
Well, these lines in Walmart are getting longer all the time.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, we got an ask on. Okay. Hey, my pastor is having us do a survey this week, because next week we're going to all share the results of our survey. And so can I ask you three short questions?
Sure.
As long as we're waiting this long in line. First question is, do you know who Jesus is?
Yes, I know who he is.
Do you know why he came?
Oh, well, I don't know.
Okay, yeah. That's not where I wanted to go. I didn't ask the right question, but okay. Well, you don't know what, you know we can. All right, that's good. See, I'm being stumped here because I wanted to go somewhere else. But say this, he was just another man.
He's just another man that I've heard about.
You know, a lot of people think that. Could I take just a couple moments, maybe after we're out of the line, and show you a little bit about who Jesus really is? Well, thank you for taking some time with me today, and I'm going to be praying for you, and have a wonderful day.
Well, thank you.
Okay, you want? All right. You can put that mic, unless you want to continue to talk, Karen. You can. Yeah. Well, you know, that was just a little bit of simplicity of what could happen, what might happen. But, you know, I put some more tracks out in the back because you guys have been passing them out. There's a whole other stack out there. Take two or three of them with you. And if you have the opportunity, you know, what a more wonderful time of the year. You're standing in Walmart, and they got all these Easter decorations behind us as we're standing there. What an opportunity to talk about the resurrection. You know, you're having coffee, and what an opportunity. Well, no, everything's an opportunity, or can be. So let me just close with this, and then I'm going to have the musicians come again and lead us in a final song. One day, we don't know when. You know, one day the world is going to fall into chaos for everybody except those that believe in him. Because he's true to his word, and, you know, he's coming back for us. He's made us a place. And those that will be needing the Savior, it'll be a little bit too late. And so let's just do this. Let's just say, if you're here today, you don't know the Savior, what a great time to make that a known thing in your heart, that you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior. For those of us that do, what a time to rededicate ourselves. That's gone. To doing what we're supposed to be doing. I'm afraid that many of us have, like the disciples, began to scatter already, and this, you know, like they did when Jesus was taken to trial. And when we're in situations where we can have the opportunity to speak for Jesus, we speak to something else. Time to refocus. And as we do that, and our focus is only on Christ, we're going to see changes in our lives. And it just radiates out from there, folks. And you've heard this so many times, but it's true. It radiates out from your life to your spouse's life, to your family, to your church, to your city. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. Because the power of Christ is so great. And the results that can be had if we allow Jesus to work are so tremendous. Larry, do you know the Mullis in Nigeria, Mully Homes? Have you heard of them? Sandy and I were watching a movie last night about a man in Nigeria who was one of the richest men in Nigeria. I'm going to tell the story very shortly if you want to watch the two-hour movie. It's called Mully. One day he argued with God for 4 hours while he was driving his Mercedes. And he stopped and pulled off the road and gave himself to Christ, went home and sold all of his businesses, all of his cars, and shocked his family of 8 and began to wander the streets and take in orphans until he had thousands of them. And he had to build a compound, and they would run out of food, and he'd tell his wife, "We'll pray," and they would pray, and food would be there. And he saw the power of God daily. It's available to us. Let's use it. Enjoy. He came that our joy might be full. And oh, what joy we have when we give everything to Jesus Christ. Lead us in a song, and then we'll have a word of benediction. Stand as we sing, would you please?
Jesus, calls us o'er the tumult of our lives' wild, restless sea. Day by day His sweet voice soundeth, calling, Christian, follow me. Jesus calls us o'er the tumult of our lives' wild, restless sea. Day by day His sweet voice soundeth, saying, Christian, follow me.
Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Heavenly Father, this day we pray that our joy would be full as we follow you, as we in the power of your Holy Spirit serve you daily, as we look for those, and Lord, you lead those to us because you're the one that seeks and saves. And Lord, give us the opportunity to be part of that as we are witnesses for you in Freeport and surrounding areas. Lord, help us this week to, with a new fervor, just knowing that the message we have is sweet, it's clear, it works, it's available to everyone. Oh, Lord, dismiss us with your love, and Lord, send us on a journey of seeking and loving and bringing in the sheaves. In Christ's name we pray, amen. You are dismissed. Thank you, Karen.